We're moving back to London. We're leaving lovely, lovely Winterleaf Gunner in the heart of the country and moving to the city. I'm distraught. I'm heartbroken.
You want your bumps feeling, you does, Nancy? What do you want to go and move for? You likes it here. Look, you loves it.
I know, Winston.
Then why leave?
Because of father. It's his chest, you see, Winston. It's his sinuses. Or is it his legs, or his elbows, or the sour lining of his soul? Father wants to go back, so we all go back.
The old sod, the old bastard.
Precisely, Winston. Exactly. We sat in the garden at the start of that last sad week in my lovely, lovely Winterleaf Gunner. There was Father, my sister Rosie, my brother William, and of course myself, Nancy. Good old Nancy, the eternal guardian of the family's discontent, the constant calm in the eye of the storm.
Oh, wacko, helicopters, jolly deed. I shall miss them most fearfully when we move back to the city. Frightfully pleasant brooch. Remind me of the dragonflies that used to hiss at the lanterns in the houseboat when your mother and I lived in Kashmir all those years ago.
Oh, shut up, Father.
Rosie, how dare you talk to Father like that?
I'll talk to him anyway. I like William. He's ruining our lives. Can't you see that? He's destroying us.
Oh, Rosie, do calm down, please.
I am calm. I'm as calm as I've ever been in the whole of my life. All I'm saying is that I do not want to go back to London, and I bitterly resent having to do so because of one of Father's pathetic whims. Father is a thoughtless, selfish bastard.
I've never been all that keen on autogyros. I once knew an autogyro pilot when your mother and I lived in Chittagong. He was a Serb. Never really came to terms with India. I think he must have had trouble with his feet.
Will you shut up, Father? You've never been to India. You know you've never been to India. We all know it. So shut up about India.
We are what is called a happy family. The happiness binds us together like stick-fast glue. We can't escape from it. There's no solvent to cure it.
I don't know what all the fuss is about. This time last year, you were all in favour of moving back to London.
I know.
You got yourself a job with that fashion house, and you got to set up on your own in a flat in Belsize Park. And I was going to live in the spare room.
You were not going to live in the spare room, William. You were not going to live with me at all. You were going to stay here in Winterleaf Gunner.
No, Rosie, it's not true. I was going to go to London and set up home on my own with you.
You're pathetic, William.
No, I'm not. At least I haven't changed my mind. You have. Why do you want to stay here all of a sudden?
Because I like it here.
You did before. You detested it.
I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind, okay?
Next day, I watched them from the window of my sewing room. They were sitting in the garden. They were surrounded by all the roses I'd planted. And now we were going to desert them. Rosie was working on one of her fabric designs, and her blonde hair glowed in the sunlight. William was working on notes for his latest book, A History of the Light Railways of County Antrim. His skin was grilling itself pink in the plump country sun. And then Father emerged from the gin-sodden shed at the bottom of the garden. The smoke from his pipe writhed behind him like a smelly old dog as he shuffled towards Rosie and William. He stopped in front of them, and he said,
I say, Rose is sitting in the garden with no togs on. It's rather forward, don't you think?
No. I'm letting the sun get to my body. I'm letting the clear, unpolluted fresh air soothe and caress me. It's one of the last chances I'll get, isn't it? And you stink to high heaven of gin.
I mean, celebrating, you see.
Celebrating what, Father?
Well, move back to London, old boy. I've missed it most frightfully, you know. The countryside's all very well in its place, William, but, dash it, there is a limit to the interest a chap can rustle up for cowpats and rabbit skill boots. No. The city is the place for me, London. November pea soupers on the embankment. Green teas and Welsh rarebit in Lyons Corner House on Coventry Street. Trams waddling and clanking through the underpass of Kingsway.
They don't have trams anymore in London, Father.
Really, old boy? Yeah. Well, then I had to go by trolley bus, wouldn't I?
We began to stow away our belongings. bitterly, sadly, reluctantly, our hearts groaning with grief. This morning, Winston said to me,
"You're a mug, Nancy. You're a fooler."
"I know."
"You want to tell him to sling his hook and bugger off."
"I can't."
"Why not?"
"Because I can't. And that is enough, Winston. Clear off and leave me alone."
"All right, Nancy, if that is what you want, if that is what you desire. Look, I shall be off and away and attending to country matters of a distinctly olfactory nature as regards my conduct."
What shall I miss about the country? The field fair and the redwing gorging the hedgerow berries in winter? The mobile greengrocer with his cleft palate and his sour sprouts? No. Winston. It's Winston that I shall miss. Winston with a blue-chipped gap in his two front teeth. Winston, the poacher with his sabata moustache and his greasy hair curling at his shoulders. Winston, the philosopher with his tattoos. Above the right nipple, the word mild, and above the left, the word bitter. Winston. Oh, Winston, it's you I shall really miss. It's a soft afternoon here in Winterleaf Gunner. The sun is tender to the soul. I'm in my sewing room, looking out on the garden. Rosie is lying in the hammock. She's topless. And my gosh, does she look lovely, and my golly, does she... My golly, here's Winston clumping into the garden in his slimy wellies rolled round his ankles and his navy blue woolen hat and he spotted her, and there's this great smirk of pleasure come to his face, and he's looking down on her and oh my gosh, oh my golly, I hope he'll be discreet.
Hello there, Rosie. Not disturbing you with your tits showing in public, am I?
No, I was just going to put them away under my smock.
Best place for him, Rosie. Them sort of things ain't meant for general viewing, look.
No.
No, without a doubt, they ain't where they should be seen. Look, it's in dark winter bedrooms with the damp dripping from the walls and the bed springs creaking and the eider down even like a great swell and thrust to the ocean. God, blimey, Rosie, thoughts like that is making me cold, faint and weak at the knees. You ain't got no seasick pills on you, has you?
Winston. Oh, I'm going to miss you so much. I really am.
That night at supper, Father said,
"I am going to miss old Winston, you know."
"Why, Father? Why?"
"Oh, he's such a fearfully pleasant one, don't you think? Just as he introduced me to the works of the Marquis de Sade last week."
"What?"
"I think he must have been a Frenchman, judging by the profusion of disgusting thumb marks in the margins. Oh, dear Lord above, if only I'd read his books in India, I'd have taken the yard brush to your mother years ago."
"Father!"
"I shall miss Winston too."
"You? Why?"
"Because he gave me new insights into life."
"And what new insights would those be, William?"
"Insights into me, Nancy. Insights into my mind. Insights into my role, my function in the clashing of the planets, the concourse of the stars and the silent swirling of the galaxies. Insights into the very core of my existence."
"Well, I won't have taken him long. Anyone mind if I dunk my spectacles?"
How could we leave the country? How could we leave our lovely, lovely dower house and the smoking winter chimneys of Winterleaf Gunner? How could we leave Winston? I resolved to have it out with Father. Take the bull by the horns, good old Nancy. I went to his shed at the bottom of the garden and knocked hard on the door.
"Well, come on in, it's only..." "Ah, Nancy, what can I do for you, old boy?"
"I've come to ask you about the move, Father."
"The move, what fun, what anticipation, good old London. Carol Gibbons of the Savoy, great snorting steam locomotives at Paddington Station. How sumptuous, how delectable. What about the move?"
"I want to know if you're quite certain about it, Father."
"No, yes, absolutely certain, old boy."
"But why, Father? I always thought you were happy here."
"So I am, but a chap's got to keep on the move. That was always my motto when we lived in India."
"But you've never lived in India, Father. You never once stepped foot in it."
"No, no, I know. I suppose that's why we made such a mess of things when we lived in Calcutta."
"Oh, Father... Why don't you just relax for a minute? Have a slurp at your gin bottle. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your family. Be honest with me. And tell me why you really, truthfully want to leave Winterleaf Gunner."
was my back, old boy.
You said it was your sinuses.
Same thing.
You're an old fraud, Father.
Beg your pardon, old boy.
You're an old fraud, and you're an old tyrant. There's nothing wrong with you. You're as fit as a fiddle. You just like to keep us jumping around at the end of your thread, don't you?
Well, of course, old boy, of course.
What? You admit it after all these years?
Oh, indeed I do. I'm an old man, Nancy. The ambitions of youth are withered and barren. I know I shall never scale the Jungfrau or play foot over the old Carthusians. I shall never play a clarinet in the mass bands of the Coldstream Guards. I shall never invent a substitute for rhubarb, or take Lillian Gish to lunch at the Waldorf Astoria. All I have left in my life now is the thread that I can twitch from time to time when you least expect it, to keep you jumping, keep you on your toes, keeping you forever skipping in the shadows of your happiness.
Father, what a dreadful thing to say.
No, of course it is, Nancy. It's an old man's dispensation to be dreadful. All I have left in my life is my power over you, the thread that twitches and jerks. Without my pension, without my annuities and my investments, where are you? Rosie is independent. Oh, yes, she can stand on her own 2 feet. But William, what does he earn from his books? A pittance. And you, Nancy, what do you earn? Nothing, except the boundless rewards of looking after me.
I hate you, Father. I despise you.
Oh, jolly good old boy. Jolly Dee, your mother used to despise me all those years ago when we lived in India. Fearfully comforting it was, especially in the monsoons.
He's right. We do twitch and jerk to his whims and fancies. But I don't hate him. I don't despise him. I love him. Poor me. Poor old Nancy. 2 days left in Winterleaf Gunner. Sun still shone. It gulped at us. I sat in the garden reading ozone-friendly recipes in my woman's magazine. The crushed avocado with seedless raisins sounded scrumptious. And Winston came up and said,
"Hello there, Nancy. What do you reckon?"
"Not a lot." He sat down cross-legged in front of me. His fat booze's belly was nut brown, and there was inky black dust glistening in its deep folds.
"You know my missus, Nancy, the ugly old party with the incipient knees?"
"Yes."
"Well, she have got herself a new blokey."
"Really? And who is this new blokey, Winston?"
"A dental mechanic from Bar Spa. He fell in love with her at first sight. I reckons it was her dentures what done it. I reckons he must have been carnally aroused by the way she sticks them on the end of her tongue when she's filling in her spot the ball coupon."
"You sound really down in the dumps, Winston."
"I am."
"Why?"
"Because you're leaving, Nancy, and that makes old Winston unhappy. It do without a doubt."
"Why?"
"Because I fancies you, Nancy."
"That's quite enough of that, thank you, Winston."
"No, it ain't, Nancy. You knows I fancies you something chronic. You're a handsome woman, tasty, desirable. I knows you're knocking on a bit as regards your age, look, but you still got slim ankles and long, smooth, white legs and great rampant bosoms, all firm and luscious."
"Winston!"
All right, keep your wool on, Nancy. We'll ignore your doodahs. For the time being, we'll put them on ice. What we'll do now is concentrate on your smooth, white legs, right?"
"I don't want you to concentrate on my legs, Winston."
"Yes, you does, Nancy, deep down in all secret. You're proud of them old pins of yours, ain't you? And so you should be. I seen pole vaulters in the Olympic Games what ain't got such long legs as what you got. I seen 10-1 chances in the Oaks at Epsom whose legs ain't in the same league as yours, look."
"Winston, will you shut up and leave me alone?"
"But why, Nancy, why?"
"Because."
"Because what, Nancy?"
"Because, and that is enough." That night we had supper in the garden. Father wore his Panama hat, his navy blue silk shirt, and his white ducks and plimsolls.
"You know, chaps, I should be quite sorry, in a way, to leave here."
"Oh, really, Father? And what a great consolation that is to us all."
"Now, come on, Rosie, leave it alone, love."
"No, no, let her say. She's the free one, isn't she? She's the one with independence. She's the one who could stay if she wanted to. No, stay, Rosie. There's no need to come with us if you don't want." "Well, Rosie, what do you say?"
"When we lived in London, Father, the council cut down an acacia tree to make room for a lay-by for a supermarket. How I wish they'd cut you down instead! I'm going for a shower. Good night."
"Oh, crumbs. More trouble, more hard work for Nancy. Placate Rosie.
What's all this obsession with Rosie? What about me? What about William?
What about you, old boy?
No one's ever been concerned about me in this family. It's all Rosie and her bad temper and artistic talent and not getting on the wrong side of her. It's all Nancy and her self-sacrifice and martyrdom in looking after us. It's all Father and his sinuses and his dicky kneecaps and his secret drinking and his incredibly boring stories about India. Well, what about me? I'm incredibly boring too, you know. I'm just as artistic as Rosie when it comes to unmanned level crossings in Lincolnshire. I've got feelings just as strong as yours, Nancy.
Of course you have, William. That's why you made such a mess of being in the Boy Scouts, isn't it?
I don't care about the Boy Scouts. All I care about right now is me. All I want to say to you is that I'm glad we're going back to London. No one ever consulted me about the plans, did they? Oh, no, it was all Father and Rosie and dear old Nancy. How would they take it? Never mind William. Well, I'm about to have my say. I hate it here. I've always hated it here. I've hated those roses sneering at us in their beds. So smug, so supercilious. I've hated the people here with their forelock tugging, their meanness, their gorblessness, the unrelieved squalor of their minds. And above all, I've hated the bloody helicopter.
Oh, I shall miss those helicopters. You know, you don't get helicopters as such in London. All you get is the cattle milk floats. I like milk floats. Floats. Why do they call them floats? Fearfully pleasant word. Floats.
I curled up into my long, smooth, white legs that night. I clasped myself to my firm bosoms. My bed caressed me like the folds in a nut brown boozer's belly, and our last day in Winterleaf Gunner, the sun did not shine. In the morning, I supervised the last of the packing and fumigated Father's vests. In the afternoon, I went for a last walk through the village. I crept through the wood at the back of Winston's house, where on the day of the village fete, he had lain alongside me under the great billowing beech and unbuttoned my blouse and run his hands over my body, and I had sighed, Winston, oh, Winston. And then, very slowly, he'd... Oh, never mind. We had a cold supper. We had a tomato salad. Tomatoes from Winston's greenhouse, chives from the kitchen garden, basil from the terracotta pots on the courtyard flags. We had cold salmon. Winston had poached it for us, especially from the salmon farm upstream from the... Winston! Our last supper! Would he come to wash my feet? Would he wash his own feet?
Fearfully pleasant grub, Nancy. Heartiest congratulations, old boy.
Thank you, Father.
I hope you'll keep up the standard when we get back to London.
But of course you will, Father. Every morning at the crack of dawn we'll go to the Thames and we'll poach lamprey and pike, all polluted with white lips and bulgy eyes. We'll build a big nest for you, Father, at the top of an acacia tree and we'll... Good night, I'm going for a shower.
I put on a tape on the portable cassette I'd bought mail order through the Sunday Telegraph colour magazine. Count Basie. Featherweight. It seemed appropriate somehow. William ate heartily. He smiled. He positively smirked. What a talent to be able to write books about the light railways of County Antrim. Pathetic little squirt. Father, dressed in his pink and white polka dot sea cotton shirt and his lime green slacks, chuckled softly to himself and rattled his pipe stem between his wayward teeth. How I hated him! How I loved him! I love the music of Count Basie. It reminds me of my days with Geoffrey. Geoffrey in his RAF officer's uniform and his open-toed sandals. Geoffrey with his athlete's foot and the psoriasis on his elbows. Geoffrey with his dark, serious eyelids. We went to the Hammersmith Odeon once to see Count Basie live. Oh, yes, he was live all right. But I wasn't so sure about Geoffrey. There was a knock at the front door. I went to answer it. And there stood Winston.
Hello there, Nancy. What do you reckon?
Not a lot.
He was all dicky dolled up in his navy blue cord suit and his yellow cravat with the blood-red fox heads. His hair was slicked back and he'd trimmed his moustache. What do you want? I said.
I come to take you out, missus. I come to take you for a spin in my motor, my car, love.
I can't.
Why not? Why not, Nancy?
I'm just going out with Winston, everybody. I'm off for a spin in his motor, his car. I shan't be long. I'm taking a road map.
That's that ticket, Nancy. You won't regret it. I just been to the dry cleaners and got a new coat hanger for the aerials and my wireless, though.
I got into his motor, his car, and he turned on the wireless.
That is a bit of poulanque, is his organ concerto, look. Third programme. It's nice, isn't it?
We drove through the dusk. We drove into the hills. I'd been there before. I saw the lights of lonely farmsteads. Who lived there? Young couples abed with desire. Old couples cuddling the thin, cold loins of their memories. We climbed higher and higher. We snaked our way through the narrow roads of the chase, where badgers snuffled and grunted, and owls hunted low and cunning, and nightjars chirred. I'd been there before.
Bloody diabolical, that music, and I can't stand poulanque. You got to have a Frenchman composing music. Give me Caesar Frank any day of the week. Only trouble about that, look, is that he's a Belgian. Bleeding typical of Belgians, that, isn't it?
We stopped at a pub. It was a lonely pub. It had hangdog windows and complaining wooden benches in the snug. I'd been there before.
Right then, Nancy. Gin and tonic for your good self, and a pint of scrumpy for good old Winston. Cheers.
Cheers.
Geoffrey wanted me to marry him. I think he wanted to live in Taunton. He was that sort of person. He was killed in a plane crash. He tried to eject, but he couldn't. He was that sort of person.
Nancy.
Yes, Winston?
What are you thinking about, Nancy?
Me?
No. Not me, Nancy. I. That's what you says if he wants to go all grammatical. Look, what you says is I. I learned that from books I done. E.M. Forster. Mrs. Gaskell, H. Rider Haggard, Margaret Drabble and her dribble of a waterfall. You never heard them saying me when what they meant was I. That is the whole beauty of English literature, that is, look, Nancy.
He brought more drinks. Then he gulped back his pint of scrumpy and said,
best be going home now, eh, Nancy?
He drove home. He didn't speak. He didn't put on the wireless. The moon sneered at us. I heard this music in my head. Prime time. I was in my prime when we heard him live at the Hammersmith Odeon. Geoffrey held my hand. Why doesn't Winston hold my hand? Geoffrey wanted to marry me. I know he did. That night when he took me home to our house in Belsize Park, he wanted to kiss me. I know he wanted to kiss me. But he didn't.
Well, here we are then, Nancy. Home sweet home.
Thank you, Winston. It was a very nice evening.
You're welcome, Nancy. I hope you ain't got no splinters in your bum from them benches.
No. Well, then?
Well, then what, Nancy?
Aren't you going to kiss me?
I don't know, Nancy.
I see. Kiss me, for God's sake, kiss me. We're never going to meet again. I'm never, ever going to see you. And I've loved you. I've craved for you. I've laid in your arms under the old beech tree. I've given myself to you freely, shamelessly, gloriously, rampantly. I've kissed me, Winston. One last kiss, please.
Good night, Nancy.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Winston. Goodbye.
The day of the move, I busied myself. I always do in times of crisis.
Why don't you relax, Nancy? There's nothing you could do now, old boy. Leave it all to the removal men. They're used to smashing the mustard pots and whistling out a tune and dropping their cigar ash in your shaving kit. They're trained for it.
Rosie sulked. She sat in the garden, staring into space.
I'm sorry, Rosie. Why didn't Winston come?
What?
He might have come to say goodbye. He was our life here. He was our joy.
I know.
I loved Winston.
I know.
Nancy! Nancy!
Yes, William? I'm in the garden.
Ah, here you are. In the garden.
What do you want, William?
Nothing. I just wanted to make sure where you were. Well, I suppose I wanted to make sure where I was, really. And now I know. I'm here. And this time tomorrow, I won't be here. I shall be in London. Isn't it exciting? Isn't it wonderful?
The removal men slammed shut the doors of their van and left. Disgusting little squirts. After a while, Rosie and William and Father climbed into the bottle-green Volvo estate. I stood by its side and looked back at the house. Goodbye, old Dower House. Goodbye, happiness. Goodbye, Winston. We overnighted in a small family hotel 5 miles to the east of Swindon. They had 2 Shetland sheepdogs which barked all night. Next morning, we were ready for the removal men at 9:30 sharp in our new house beside the Thames. The van drew up with a lurch and a rumble.
Oh, my God! I hope they haven't smashed my LPs of the Irish Mail.
Oh, shut up! Shut up, William!
The removal men climbed out of the cab of their van. They stretched themselves slowly, and one of them put 2 fingers to the bridge of his nose and did something disgusting in the gutter. They ambled cockily to the rear of the van. It was primrose yellow. They opened the doors and out stepped Winston.
Morning, Nancy. What do you reckon, then? A lot.
Winston! What on earth are you doing here?
Me, Rosie? I come to live with you, like what I done in Winterleaf Gunner, only this time it's in London, look.
You've come to live with us?
That's right, William. And don't worry, my old wheezy brat. I saved your gramophone records from being run over by the Irish Mail. And I only broke one of your father's bottles of gin, what no one's supposed to know he's got stashed away in the bottom of the radiogram.
Oh, I say, old boy, thanks a million. Remind me to let you have one of my old attaché cases.
Winston, oh, Winston, how lovely to see you. How lovely.
Well, I couldn't leave you on your own, on your jack, could I, Nancy? Not someone what is not conversant with the works of E.M. Forster and his fellow shirtlifters. Besides, you're living in the city. And old Winston, he ain't never lived in a city before, but he couldn't miss out on that opportunity, could he? Particularly as his missus had found herself a new blokey what don't mind her proclivities with her false teeth and... Nancy.
Yes, Winston?
Come over here.
Yes, Winston. And with that, he kissed me full on the lips. And then he chuckled and said...
You remember them things we put on ice in Winterleaf Gunner? Well, I was thinking...
Winston! That is quite enough of that. Thank you very much. But I couldn't help smiling. And I couldn't help feeling warm inside. How lovely. How very, very lovely.